Good morning. Thank you for being here in church with us today. We've made it to the end of 2024, and how do we think the year went? How would you rate it? You know, you made it, you're here, so that's a good thing. Was it a good year, or was it not such a good year for you? I rate any year good if I can remember to write the date correctly. Just a couple of weeks into the January would be one of my goals. I don't know about you. I don't have much on between Christmas and the New Year. Generally, I try to relax a bit, as you would too. My main task around the house is to find excess bins to dump all my rubbish in. So I'd keep yours locked up because it's pretty excessive at the moment, and I know where most of you live. I like Larry's plan, actually. You put fish frames in the bin and just leave them there until the neighbours complain in the hot sun. No one goes near them. It's very effective, but it certainly lowers the value of the real estate around the area anyway, so to talk to him about that. Regardless of what you have on this week and how you plan to spend New Year's Eve, there's something God wants you to know about the coming year. There's something God wants you to know about every year, actually, and that's how to spend it wisely. God's simple checklist for successful living. It'll give you a set of priorities for your life for the coming year, which he approves of. And wouldn't you like to know that? The unseen God has things that he approves of and things that he rejects. Wouldn't you like to know what they are? Done. It's here in the Bible. And we're about to turn to it. Let's pray together as we open God's word. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us through another year, and we praise you for that. We praise you for your goodness to us. We praise you for this area we live in, or for the area we've come from as we're travelling and holidaying. Keep us safe. We pray for safety on the roads, even for those who normally meet with us through the year and who are away right now. We do pause and reflect upon our local area that there are various people missing, some swept out to sea, missing in bushland, etc., and the trauma that creates for those in the local area, their families searching for them. Lord, may they be found safe and well. But if they are not, Lord, may we use the traumas of this world, the great difficulty it presents, as a springboard to turn to you and to cry out to you for your mercy and your intervention. And we do regularly do that. We ask for your guidance. We ask for your healing. We ask for wisdom, Lord. And we ask for your priorities for this coming year. Teach us those. Give those to us. And make us like Jesus, we pray in his name. Amen. Well, I hope Christmas was filled with love and warmth and joy at your place. Many find it difficult to keep up with the pressure of the commercialism and the pressure on us to spend up big. But at the same time, there are others who just love the Boxing Day sales, record spending. It's crazy, isn't it? Like men, what do you think? Wouldn't you just love to get back into those shopping centres with all those people? Listen, if you haven't found the gift for that special person, or if you're doing what many do, having a delayed Christmas party, can I recommend our church bookmarks? They're free. We have hundreds of them, which we cannot give away, it seems. This lot in particular I have bulk supply of because I put a QR code on the back of them. It was supposed to lead to something intelligent and wise, but the QR code's dead. I used a site that failed after 1 week, or you had to pay money or something. So we've got thousands of these. So they're a really good stocking filler if you're still looking for a present for someone, okay? Come and see me about that. A woman in the UK has a good idea. Her family turned up for Christmas dinner. She charged them $50 a head. It was a little bit of a surprise to them. And online people are wondering whether this was an appropriate way. Is this finishing well? The whole family comes looking forward to Christmas and they're left with a bill. It might be okay if that's the arrangement beforehand, but there is some tension there. This woman, Abby, went all out. I mean, this was a pretty big dinner, but yet to go home with the bill probably was a bit of a shock for her family. Anyway, enough of that. I think we can all understand the problem she's facing. It is a difficult time of year, but that seems to be a little bit extreme. I think everyone knows what it's like to be under pressure at Christmas time. It's a weird time of year, where we travel and we gather and we eat too much and we spend too much and all of those things. It takes a lot of restraint. And then we have to stop and think, okay, normal life is returning a little bit. It's going to be New Year's Eve. That might be quiet or crazy for you as well. But normal life returns. When normal life returns, how does God say we should live our life? What are his marching orders? Is God concerned about your financial situation? Is God primarily concerned about your health or the environment around us? Do you know there are Christian groups that say each one of those is God's top priority for you? What would it be? Which is it? Let's find out together. Our text will be Paul's second letter to Timothy, and right near the end there, his fourth chapter. As far as we know, this is the last thing Paul wrote on earth before he was taken to glory. Not too much reading today, just a handful of verses. Now, as we read it together, I want you to be looking in the text for three things. One thing that you must do, one thing you must not do, and one thing God is doing. Got it? That's your goal, to spot that as we read it together. One thing you must do, one thing you must not do, and one thing God is doing. Finishing well from God's word, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Read it with me from verse 1. I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Jesus Christ, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom, preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race and I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Praise God for his word to us today. And may he grant us wisdom as we try to apply this to our lives. Well, I probably don't need to tell you what schoolies is, that crazy end-of-term party, end-of-school life party for what appear to be very young people from my perspective. Masses of teenagers, lots of music, lots of fun, lots of hormones, lots of alcohol. What could possibly go wrong? Well, it seems some cannot handle this newfound freedom that they have, you know, the instant lack of parental guidance and personal restraint. Many of these kids end up sick or mainly sleeping off schoolies, actually. A lot of them waste the time. And over the years, the stats have been a little bit alarming. 60% of children who attend schoolies in places like the Gold Coast, it's spread now all over the country, but the Gold Coast started it, 60% of them will suffer a blackout during this week. 40% of them are injured. 10% of them will get into a fight of some sort. 48% of boys and 37% of girls will get drunk every night of the week there. And there might even be some immorality. Not sure about that, but there could be. But you'll be stunned to learn. If that's not stunning enough, you'll be stunned to learn there is a change happening. Over the past few years, school leavers are choosing alternate trips to take. It's like they've had enough of this. And their reputation is so bad, they're actually choosing to do something else. Even on the Gold Coast, police are now praising the behaviour of attendees. Who would have thought? This current generation is apparently wiser than all those that went before it. They're certainly wiser than my generation, if I remember accurately. How do you finish well? What must you do to finish well? Obviously, there are some things you should do, and there are some things you should not do. Can we bring in God and ask his advice? Not just school leavers, those who are still working things out, but those of us who have been around the sun a few times. And some of us don't finish well either. Some of us don't do well what God has asked us to do. We who point the finger at the younger generation sometimes need to listen hard at God's word. Take it in. Let's go back over God's ready reckoner and give ourselves a score. Remember, we're looking for something you must do, something you mustn't do, something God's doing. And here's what Paul writes to Timothy from his dungeon. It's a prison letter. I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Jesus Christ, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom, preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not, patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. We can summarize this really easily. The good times are about to end. The party is coming to an end. But then comes God's judgment on sin. Verse 1, Jesus Christ will someday judge the living and the dead. Will anyone escape this? No. No one will escape this. The living and the dead. The living, those who are caught up at the return of Jesus, will be swept up. Those who are in the grave or whose bodies are disintegrated, they will be raised too, miraculously, and they will face the throne, the great white throne of God as well. They are raised in the judgment. Jesus himself taught this very thing. Paul is just reiterating something Jesus taught very specifically in John chapter 5. He could not have made it clearer. John 5, a time is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come out. The ones who have done what is good to the resurrection resulting in life, the ones who have done what is evil to the resurrection resulting in condemnation. It's the words of Jesus. And by the way, he doesn't mean if you live a good life, you get to go to heaven. In the few verses, let's just bring in the context, in the few verses just before this, Jesus explains what the good is. He means those who hear the gospel and believe it. He says that's what it means to be good. And now he goes on with this teaching about those, the good, will be raised to eternal life. Those who have not heard the gospel or who have heard it and rejected it will be raised to God's condemnation and his punishment. The point is, no one escapes this judgment at the end of the age. The party will come to an end, and then comes the reckoning. The physically living and the physically dead will be made to stand before him. So the thing we must do is be faithful. That's the thing you must do. Stand firm, be faithful. And that includes preaching the word of God. Look at verse 2. Preach the word of God. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not, in good times and in tough times, patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. Be faithful to the task God has given you. Now, in the context of this letter, it's a pastoral letter to a young pastor, Timothy, who's at Ephesus, been there a few years while Paul's traveling or in prison, as it is in this case. So, of course, his instructions relate to what a pastor must do with his flock. But the wider context is that everyone's been given some kind of ministry, and God is going to hold you accountable for what you do with that. God is going to hold you accountable for how you use your time and your talents. Everyone has been given a ministry. What are you doing with it? Know this, the party is coming to an end, and God demands that you remain faithful to the end. The singer Robbie Williams has decided that the party's over for him. He's going to go back to school. Schoolies, back to school. He's that solo artist for you old people who are out of touch. Actually, he's pretty old himself, isn't he now? He was dragged out of school at about 15 or 16 or something and put in that boy band, Take That. We've got a boy band here at church. These guys were almost as good as our boy band. Not quite. Now, Robbie Williams probably didn't pay much attention in school in the first place, and then he was whisked out to stardom and drug, sex and rock and roll. This is Gen X now, setting new standards. These are my people just getting re-edumacated. That's what's happening. Wouldn't it be good to read that Robbie Williams wants to find peace with God, that he realises that the wild times in rock and roll are over and there's a reckoning coming and it's time to do business with God? That'd be a nice thing to read, wouldn't it? Begging God's forgiveness on his sin. So he's starting to have this realization, I've been heading down this path and it's unsatisfying. And he says here, I've felt dumb all these years because I didn't get any qualifications at school. And he thinks this is going to make him feel complete. But it won't ultimately, will it? Education is a good thing and I commend him for that. But ultimately, that's not what he needs. He needs a relationship with his Creator. And if you do, your job is to remain faithful to the task God has given you. Why? Why should we remain faithful to this task? Well, because of the thing we must not do. Verse 3, for a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. And they will reject the truth and chase after myths. And I think as you get older, you think, right, we've arrived at that time. It wasn't quite there when I was young, but now look at the world. I think this word has been relevant to every generation. I think everyone has been able to see the wisdom of God in this instruction. Human beings tend to want to create their own truth, have their own standards, and judge themselves by their own standards, which they often don't meet. Well, what you must not do is hide the truth from people. For the remarkable thing is, God uses people like you and me to reach those other people with this truth. Humanity has a tendency to decide for itself what the truth is, and it begins to shut down the truth in the public forum. We've seen that. But it hits back occasionally, doesn't it? And we see these stories of people who are starting to question what life is all about, famous people. Even if they're not actually believers, you'll see, you know, people on YouTube or in the media starting to say, I think there may be a God, I'm going to explore this. It swings back again. God just nudges humanity in his direction every now and then. Think about it. How do you discover the truth if your own internal compass points away from God? But that's what the Bible says. It says that every person has an indwelling sin problem, and your internal compass points away from the truth. And that's why the truth needs to be spoken. So Paul is telling Timothy, preach the truth. People will turn to myths, but you be faithful and preach the truth. God is going to reach people through the church expressing the truth, which is different, by the way, to saying God wants Christians to be isolated and disconnected, preaching the truth, as good as that might be. That's not it. In Ephesians 3, Paul says that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God is revealed. Through the church, made up of individuals, but through the church. The church must do this. You must be faithful to the task God has given you. And we must not conceal the truth. Well, there's one to go. We know what we must do. We know what we must not do. What is God doing? Verse 5. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. Got that? Tick. As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. So this is Paul saying, I am determined to finish well. The circumstances of his life are not great. That's not what he means, because by human standards, he's finishing very poorly. He's locked in a dungeon. The court case is obviously not going well, we read from the wider context, and he's about to lose his head. So that's not what he's talking about. That's not finishing well. It's not your physical circumstances. It's not your bank balance. It's not what people think of you. It's what God thinks of you. Are you faithful to the end? Paul keeps his mind clear. He's not setting as his goal the avoidance of suffering, although we all hope we can sidestep a bit of it. That's okay, I get that. He's not doing that which is only easy for him. He doesn't take the path of least resistance. Ministry's not easy. There'll be bad days for you in ministry, but you can still finish well. He's nearly at the end. Paul's death is near. He knows that. And then this, verse 7, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Do you know, for some people, the return of Jesus is not going to be a happy day. And if they truly believed it in their current situation, they would be afraid of it. So it turns out that all along, God has been keeping the records. God has been watching over the earth, and he's been watching the church, and he's been watching you. He knows exactly what you're doing with your time, your talent, and your tenacity. I made that up. I like alliteration. So I thought I would teach you a little bit of it there. Do you know how long it took me on a thesaurus to find tenacity there? How have you spent your time as you've gone about living 2024? How will you spend your time in 2025? What have you done with the talent God has given you? What have you done with the time he's afforded you? Will you persevere in those things? Are you tenacious in being determined not to let everything else crowd out what you're doing for God? One thing you must do is be faithful. One thing you must not do is hide the truth. And the thing God has been doing is watching over you, and he forgets nothing. I can't tell you exactly what your ministry will be, where it will take you, or how long it will last. I only know that you have a ministry because God says so. Find out what it is. Let him reveal it to you. Get about doing it and finish well. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for our time in your word today. May it find good soil, be planted, well watered, and bear fruit to the praise of the name of your glorious Son, Jesus. We pray that through this church, your wisdom may be made known to the world. Make it so in us. Make it so in us individually, because the church is only as strong as its individuals. Together, though, you are in our midst, and you are building your kingdom around these people with the head, Jesus Christ, our Saviour. We thank you that he was born, that first nativity which we've celebrated at Christmas this week. We thank you that he will return, and that your presence by your Holy Spirit is with us without fail in the meantime. And now, Lord, help us finish 2024 well. Help us begin 25 well, and help us continue to do that until you call us home. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.